This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and with the blood of Jesus, his Son. Purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, thank you, Steph. Well, do keep that bit of Bible open. And I hope the sheet that you were given on your way in is helpful. Do refer to that and the points on it. I hope they help make things clear. But why don't we pray? Let's come to God's word together. Let's pray together. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Father, as we come to your word, you want to confess that you are perfectly light. And yet we know that there is darkness in us, sin in us. So we ask, Father, that you would so speak to us, that you would shine your light into all our hearts here this evening, that we might see what you're like, how much we need your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might cling to him, trust him, and have deep assurance and certainty that we have been forgiven of all our sins in him. Amen. Well, what is God like? What is God like? It's a very simple question, isn't it? Yet it has so many answers in our world, so many religions, so many opinions. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Zoroastrianism, the list goes on and on. Who's right? If there is even a right. And of course there are many opinions in the church as well. Some in the church will say, well, God is love, and we find that here in 1 John as we begin this series in 1 John. But others will say, well, yes, God is love, and so everyone goes to heaven. How could a God of love send anyone to hell? How could God punish sin? And we can be left with the impression, can't we, that it's all a matter of interpretation, personal opinion. How do we know who is telling the truth, if there is a truth? Well, today we begin a series in a letter written by the Apostle John, in which he claims to know what God is like. He does claim later on in the letter of 1 John that God is love, but first he claims, verse 5, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And he begins by being clear that we should believe what he says. But everyone should believe what he says. He's very anxious to communicate this. And we're at our first point here, the apostolic message of fellowship with God. I'm sorry, I wonder if somebody could get me a glass of water. I seem to have got a bit of a frog in my throat. Have a look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Seen, heard, looked at, touched. See, John and his fellow apostles are claiming to have seen, heard, looked at, touched the word of life. It's not just his opinion. He's witnessed something. Verse 2, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. Well, that's what you do. If you've seen something, you can testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. See, John proclaims what he has seen and can testify to. Well, verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Do you get the drift? What he's emphasising? So that you all may also have fellowship with us, that's with the apostles. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Excuse me. He could not make it clear, could he? He's proclaiming what he has seen and heard and touched. He, with the other apostles, saw, heard and touched Jesus Christ. This is not a matter of opinion. He saw Jesus' life, heard Jesus' teaching, saw Jesus' miracles, witnessed Jesus' death, witnessed Jesus' bodily resurrection and ascension to heavenly glory, so that the fellowship that he has with God, he can proclaim to others. But we might still say, but it's all about interpretation, isn't it, John? I mean, mere opinion. And John is trying to say, no, it isn't. What he is saying is reality. It's true truth. It's not just his opinion. And so what other people are saying, and they were, are lying. He's very clear about this in 1 John. And one of the themes of 1 John, if we're Christians here this evening, is how we can be secure in our faith, sure and certain. And we should know that some words in our lives can bring security because they are linked to reality. That's John's claim. I don't know, maybe it's when you sign your tenancy agreement or your mortgage agreement or your pension provision or your salary or your job description or the MOT. There's words there, but they have a link to reality, one would hope. And so they give confidence and security. They're real. They're words of reality. I don't know, there may be other words of reality we're more used to, those of a younger generation. Some of the words that you're writing in your exams have a link to the reality of your future. Or maybe you're on the internet and you think this is all just a weird world. But you go on a website and you click a button and you buy something. And then all of a sudden that word on that website links to reality, because the package sort of comes through the door. It's real. It really works. John is saying his words are true truth. They are reality. So can I encourage you to put the same kind of effort you might put into developing your Christian security as you might put into your exam future kind of security, or into your MOT certificates or your pension plans? And you think, well, why? Well, if we believe that these words here are linked to our eternal reality, they're worth putting some work into, aren't they? Now, I've got a book here. I know not every person here is in a growth group, but do take one of these and do work through it. Do put in the effort, maybe not in the next few weeks when you are supposed to be revising for exams, but maybe beyond that. These words are linked to reality. It's not just John's opinion. So I want us to begin to put that into practice by considering who is John writing to, getting clear what these words mean. Keep a finger there and just flip forward with me to chapter 5, verse 13. Who is John writing to? Because lots of different people in the church say lots of different things about 1 John. So we've got to be clear about who John is actually writing to. Who's he addressing? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's writing to Christians so that you may know that you have eternal life, so that you can be confident that you're going to glory. He's writing to Christians. But why is he writing? Well, Flip back with me to chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. See, it seems a group or groups in the churches that the apostles had planted had left those churches and had left or rejected apostolic teaching. And so John is writing to these churches, to these Christians, saying, look, no, you stick with what I taught you because it's true. And what these other folk are saying, and they're trying to deceive you, they're lying. Their words don't link to reality. And so he says in chapter 2, verse 26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. The categories that John uses are truth and lies, life and death, spiritual victory and spiritual defeat. And so he's writing to assure Christians. So just flip back to page 1225 and just hear the certainty he's wanting to get across to Christian people. Just, you know, bog standard Christian people like you and me. Verse 12, chapter 2. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You have been forgiven, he's saying to the normal Christian. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. You know God. I write to you, young men, because you have, past tense, overcome the evil one. It's a done deal. Can you see the certainty he's wanting to get across to Christians? Doesn't that excite you just a little bit? Wouldn't you like to be living your Christian life with that kind of confidence? I have been forgiven. I have overcome the evil one. I know God and will do for eternity. Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's what 1 John's about. Now, we need, I think, also to be aware of our personality when we come to reading the Bible. And that is certainly the case with 1 John. And I don't know if you've come across personality tests. There are various personality tests. This is not a tested personality test. This is just my made-up personality test. It's the Winnie the Pooh personality test. So see which one describes you. Some of us, I think, are a little bit like Piglet. You know, we're anxious and busy, rushing around the whole time. Please stop and think. Please take the time not to be a Piglet, okay, but get your mind around 1 John. Some of us are a bit like Owl, and all they do is think. Please relate to people. Because 1 John says we cannot understand eternal life without being in fellowship with other people. And we certainly can't have that deep assurance and security. Tiggers. I don't know if there's any Tiggers in our midst. That all you do is relate to people. You never stop. And you're always confident. If you're forgiven, well, of course you're forgiven. Do you have eternal life? Well, of course I have eternal life. Now, let me get on and relate to people. Well, no, please examine yourself. Because there are many people in churches who assume they have eternal life, who unfortunately may not. And then if you're anything like me, you may be an Eeyore. Any Eeyores here this evening? You can read the most positive thing in the world, and you're thinking, where's the catch? Where's the catch? And so we can read things like this, words of deep security, and we can just mope. Well, it must apply to somebody else, it doesn't apply to me. So be aware of how your personality is going to change the way you read this book. Well, let's start where John begins. After saying that we really should trust what he's saying, and we really should look forward to that joy, verse 4, that's why he's writing, where does he begin? This is the message, verse 5, we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John is saying that this is where we begin if we want to be certain as Christians. God is pure and perfect goodness. He is infinite in his goodness, infinite in his purity. He has glorious and majestic righteousness. There is no evil in him at all, no sin in him, no atom of injustice. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. It's just we don't tend to think like that, do we? we naturally think that God may have something in him, or at least in his plans and purposes for our lives, which, to be quite honest, we question. Maybe we're just investigating Christian things here this evening, and we've written God off for years, in fact, because something happened which we are convinced was wrong. We should never have had to go through that. We prayed to God and he didn't answer, and we're internally saying, I have a bone to pick with you, God. Well, I want you to consider that you've been deceived, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He cannot do or think anything that is wrong. Or maybe we're Christians here this evening and our lives have been blighted, to be quite honest, with bitterness against God. Again, something that has happened in our life, or the providence of God over our lives, and we just cross with God. We're just cross. But you see, God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. The problem is with us. But you see, the deceivers who had left the apostolic churches were implicitly denying this. And so it was attractive to normal Christians like you and I back then, who struggled with these feelings and thoughts. And what they were implicitly saying was, God isn't light. He doesn't really care about sin, because there's darkness in him. We don't really need to have sin dealt with in our lives by the sacrifice of his son, who is both God and man. No, you don't need to bother with that. And there's people in the church today saying exactly the same thing. So we need to be clear on this if we're going to be certain as Christians. You see, we all need the sacrifice of the Son of God to deal with our sin. And there were people in the church back then, as there are people in the church, not this church, thankfully, but in the wider church, denying this. So we need to be wary, don't we? Now, I wasn't in science for very long, but some of you who are scientists may well be able to tell me about this. In some scientific labs, the standards of cleanliness and purity need to be so high, there's airlocks and filtration systems and whole body suits and the like, you simply cannot get into the presence of this special laboratory without training in purification and how you work the airlocks and all that kind of thing. Well, what John is saying is we need to realise and be trained, if you like, in how great the need is for our purification if we're going to have fellowship with this God who is light. So let's just have a look at what he says. How is sin dealt with? If we're going to have fellowship with the apostles and fellowship with the God who is light, how is sin, our sin as Christians, dealt with? Because remember, he's writing to Christians. Well, it's not by walking in darkness, but the light of his purification. Now, have a look at verse 6. And what we need to bear in mind here is that he's addressing the deceivers who've left the churches and trying to make sure that Christians are not deceived by them. Verse 6. Look, if we claim to have fellowship with him, that's with God, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, says John. And we do not live by the truth. A person who claims to be a Christian and yet does not think that seeking to obey God's commands is vitally important is lying to themselves and to others. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light, if we seek to walk as Jesus did, as he says a little later on, if we seek to love one another as he has loved us, if we seek to obey his commands because we worship and have fellowship with the God of light, well, then we need to walk in the light, acknowledging our sin, but walking in a way that pleases him. Well, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's not how well we walk in the light. It's just acknowledging that that is something that Christians are to do. We're to seek to live in a way that pleases God. And notice the order here. I hope you grow to love this as we go through the series of One John. He puts things together that we're great at ripping apart. You see that even in the structure of the book. He overlaps themes together. Do you see what he puts together here? Fellowship with God by walking in the light. Fellowship with other Christians. That's meeting with other Christians. Getting to know other Christians. In other words, he puts together fellowship with God and fellowship with other Christians. We like to tease those apart, don't we? And think that we can really know God without knowing other Christians. John says no. They go together. And the blood of Jesus' son purifying us from all sin. All sin is something that we experience and know together in fellowship with the God who is light. Now, I'm sure you've had that rather uncomfortable experience of, being asleep in a darkened room, at night or during the day or whenever, and suddenly somebody comes in and they switch the lights on. What's your instinctive reaction against that person? What are you sort of, that's good, blah, blah, blah. It's an instinctive reaction, isn't it? What John is saying here is that we're in a fellowship together with the God who is light, and in fellowship with one another, God shines his light, which is a moral light in 1 John, and exposes our sin, but it's not comfortable. Often he's using one another to switch that light on. And we react against one another, don't we? I mean, how dare they reveal our sin, our darkness? Not so that we're constantly uncomfortable and feeling that initial reaction, but so that we get used to the light, so that our darkness is dealt with, so we can bask in his light, being purified together by the blood of Jesus. It's like the warm sun on our back, enjoying the light of fellowship with the God who is light, because of his son Jesus and his blood. But that happens together. Doesn't happen on your own, like now, thinking. Now, there are people today who claim Christian faith, who flagrantly disobey God's law and teach others to do the same. What John is saying is they can have no confidence that they are Christians. They lie. John is saying that Christians accept together that we need to live in God's light, that we need to seek to obey his commands in relationship with other Christians. But you see, there's many people who say they don't even need to come to church to enjoy that fellowship with God. They lie, according to John here. And we'll not know that security which comes by fellowship with the God who is light in the fellowship of his people of light. So that's the first thing. Secondly, not by denying present sin, but confessing sin. For it is, that's God's purification. Now, these are familiar words to us, but let's just look at them and extract the food, the spiritual food here. If we claim to be without sin, like the deceivers who left the apostolic community were, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's saying that those deceivers who claim to be without sin are obviously deceived, because the reality is God is light. And we are sinful. We are in the darkness. We continuously sin. Now, self-deception is easier to see in others than it is in ourselves, isn't it? I have a confession to make. I have watched in the past The X Factor. Now, I know some of you are shocked and horrified that I might stoop to watch such a programme. I have found myself tempted to watch The Voice with Lizzie as well, which we quite enjoy, but really it's me that enjoys it. So these sort of shows with, you know, people making slight fools of themselves, or not as the case may be. But in terms of The X Factor, do you remember the sort of regular staged situation in which someone thought they were going to be the next Michael Jackson? But as soon as they began to sing, it was very clear that they were not going to be the next Michael Jackson. And even when the judges gently, and perhaps not so gently, critiqued their performance, they refused to acknowledge. So self-deceived were they, and we could see it, and everybody else could see it, but they could not see it themselves. Do you know that's what sin is like? On your own, you will deceive yourself. I don't know if you've ever tried to see the back of your neck. I mean, you could try it now if you want. Anybody here, you know, find it easy to see the back of their neck? No, you have to sort of put a mirror behind you, don't you, and sort of some kind of
Yeah, I probably shared too much information this morning. When I have to shave this back, you know, this hair sort of sprouting various points. So I have to sort of shave here, and it's impossible to see the back of your neck, and then you have to get the mirror out, and it's all back to front. Seeing ourselves clearly is a bit like trying to see the back of our necks. We are naturally blind to our own sinfulness. It's a bit like we put the mirror to see what we're like on the back of our necks, and there is some pus-filled wart that is life-threatening, which if we can see it, we know we need the great physician to come and heal us and to deal with us. We need the Lord Jesus. But you see, we tend to look at our sin, and our self-deception is so complete that we think, oh, sin, it's quite a small thing, really. It's not big enough to need God sending his own son into the world to be brutally tortured and punished, going to hell on the cross to deal with my sin. That just seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? No, we've deceived ourselves. See, the Christian position is verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just, because he's punished the Lord Jesus on the cross, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, so we can have fellowship in the presence of the God who is light. But sometimes we just don't see it that way. Things that get dirty need regular washing. Imagine that after a meal, rather than putting the dishes in the dishwasher, which I do sometimes do, or washing up, you just put them back in the cupboard. And the next time you get them out, there's mould from the lasagna beginning to grow, but well, that doesn't bother you. You just put them back on the table and have some friends around, and they're a bit doubtful, but you put on the cheesy pasta. But after they finish, you just put the plates back in, so now they've got lasagna and cheesy pasta. And the same again with chicken and mash, or whatever it is. A week, what would it be like? You know, blue and white mould growing. Stench. It'd be deadly, wouldn't it? Wouldn't pass health and safety. We need daily, daily purification from our sin. Jesus taught, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. He expected us to confess daily. So great is our problem. But we don't see it that way. See, confession is acknowledging our sins before God, verbally saying sorry, and it's the normal Christian life that on a daily basis we realise that we sin in such a way that were we not purified justly and faithfully by our God who has sent Jesus for us, well, we wouldn't be clean in his presence. But if we do, then we can be confident we have eternal life. That's what John is arguing here. The deceivers were saying, if we claim to be without sin, and that's in the present ongoing, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And because that's attractive to us, he needs to warn them against these folk who are saying that. Saying, no, you need daily cleansing and purification, not in some sort of guilt trip. But that guilt dealt with trip, if there is such a thing. To enjoy the presence of the God who is light. I don't know about you, but do you find yourself just confessing as you sort of go along during the day? Is your consciousness of sin a daily, hour-by-hour thing? That's normal. It's tempting, isn't it, to think, oh, Christianity is so... Oh, I've got to feel guilty again, oh, I've sinned again. Wouldn't it be great if somebody just told me that sin wasn't a problem? No, that's what the deceivers were saying. Sin is a big problem. The great news is that God can deal with it. In us, day by day, hour by hour. So just ask yourself the question, when was the last time you confessed your sin? Not just now, but on your own with God, or just walking down the street, or on the way to school in the bus. You can have that fellowship with God who is light. Now, finally, I don't want to spend too much time on this, because AJ's going to be speaking about propitiation at the All Age next Sunday, but can you see that he's addressing the claims of the deceivers? If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. It is the normal Christian life to know that day by day we admit and confess our sins because God purifies us through what he's done in his Son. We're not to call him a liar. We're to acknowledge that he's God, who is light. And we have an advocate. It's a bit like the sins of John Parker become known in heaven, and punishment should be meted out on the sins of John Parker, but Jesus speaks up and says, no, I've taken his punishment. He's innocent. Day after day after day, and looking back into the past. And he's a propitiation. He averts the right and just anger that should be meted out on me and you. And not only for me and you, but anyone in the whole world who wants to have fellowship with the God who is light, the only God. So where have we got to? I hope that with me, and as a congregation with the rest of the church, we'll really get into 1 John. We should want to be secure in our Christian lives, shouldn't we? But what is God like? God is love. But we cannot understand his love and enjoy the security of his love without first understanding that he is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So people like you and me need the purifying death of God's Son. Don't get bored of it. If we seek to live in the light within the fellowship of other Christians, if we confess our sins, knowing the constant need of the purifying sacrifice of Jesus the Son of God, we can know we have eternal life. We can know we have fellowship with God. We can know we have victory over the evil one. We can know we will be with him in glory forever and ever, made like him in the place of light because of the sacrifice of his only Son. Let's pray together. Father, we are sorry that we so easily give up that safety and security and certainty we have in what you have done for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to seek to walk in the light, to have fellowship with you, the God who is light, with this community, seeking to obey your commands, knowing that we need regular cleansing and purification from our sins, confessing as we should. Not as some guilt trip, but so we can have our guilt dealt with day by day and enjoy our fellowship with you. Amen.